most people have experienced, but few people really understand. You end a relationship, you take time, you reflect, you do your inner work, and you tell yourself clearly, sincerely, that next time it's going to be different. And then you get into another relationship, and somewhere in the next relationship, 3 months, 4 months into it, maybe even 4 years, you realize the same dynamic is repeating itself. Different person, different face, different details, but essentially the same. And you start to wonder, what is wrong with me? Why am I choosing badly? Am I doing this on purpose? Am I broken? Nothing is wrong with you. Your nervous system is doing exactly what it was designed to do. The problem is that it was designed in a world that no longer exists. Today in the show, I want to talk about why this happens, not as a psychological theory, but as a living biological process, one that is understandable and one that you can change. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today I want to talk about how our nervous system doesn't look for love. It looks for what's familiar. And that's the foundational truth to all of this, right? Your nervous system was not designed to find relationships that are healthy. It was designed to find relationships that feel familiar, and they're not the same thing. And, you know, the other pieces that I'll just talk about briefly is that sometimes our nervous system or our bodies, our psyches are looking for something that is going to be familiar to heal us. So in the first years of life, before there's language, before memory, before any conscious understanding of the world, your nervous system was learning. You were gathering information. You were learning about what survival meant. And it was building a model for what relationships feel like too. And what love looks like and what safety looks like and what attention feels like. And what you have to do in order to stay close to someone. And whatever it learned, that became your baseline. That's what became normal. It's home. It what feels comfortable. Now, here's the part that matters, because the nervous system is not looking for the best relationship. It's looking for a relationship that matches the model, the patterning it understands. Because matches feel safe, even when they're painful. There's a familiarity to it. Even if it hurts, it's known. There's less fear being provoked as a result of it. And the nervous system will always choose the known over what is unknown. That's not pathology. That's actually bodily intelligence. And in a dangerous world, knowing what to expect is helpful for survival. The problem is that when you're trying to build something conscious, something chosen, something loving, something adult, and you're doing that with a nervous system that is still running on a map drawn from your childhood, you don't attract what you want. You attract what your nervous system recognizes as home. Now, we've been talking on the show about archetypes, and I want to apply this to the archetypes. And if you haven't taken the quiz, I'll talk about this more in the show, later in the show. And in the show notes is the link to the quiz, the Healing Archetype quiz. This is where they become relevant, because each archetype carries a slightly different relational signature, a dynamic that the nervous system learns to call normal. And It's not that that quiz is a relationship quiz. It's just that these patterns exist in multiple places in the body. So I want to go through what kind of how they relate to the different archetypes. So the vessel in relationship, the vessel is someone who is depleted and in protection mode. And they're going to gravitate towards relationships that confirm that current state. So sometimes that can look like a low demand relationship because the connection itself could feel overwhelming. Or maybe it's a relationship where there's lots of chaos because that mirrors the internal experience, right? If you feel a lot of chaos inside, you often will bring more chaos into your life to mirror that back, right? And oftentimes that chaos is part of the imprint that we have when we're young. One of the specific felt qualities of the vessel relationship pattern is this. Intimacy is simultaneously craved, but it also feels very overwhelming. And deep connection is wanted, and when it arrives, it triggers the very depletion it was meant to relieve. So the nervous system learns to keep the relationship at a distance somehow. Close enough to feel less alone, but far enough to not collapse under the weight of the full presence. This isn't about choosing badly. It's about a frequency. And the only way to change that is to change the frequency. I also see a pattern with the vessel where there can be a complete collapse as well, where the person becomes super dependent on the relationship and the other person. And sometimes it's because they're having trouble managing their lives. So now there's another pattern I see, which I actually see in two of the archetypes, which is the tending pattern. And usually we see it in the adept and oftentimes in the wayfarer. So it lives mostly in the adept, though it touches a little bit of all of the archetypes. And that's the person who's learned that love is something you earn by giving. And if you don't give, then you're not going to receive love. And oftentimes, these are the people who overwork in a relationship. They give and give and give because that's what their nervous system is comfortable with. They've learned that by giving more of themselves and not necessarily taking anything back, that's where they get love. And it's like being needed feels like love for them. And oftentimes receiving can feel dangerous because then they're not needed anymore. And so that's kind of a pattern that I see as well in this. Now, oftentimes initiates in relationships, they will attract relationships with intensity. Their connections that feel faded, significant, transformative. Their nervous system is oriented towards depth and meaning. And the ordinary experience of stable love can feel less alive. And they want change. They want complicated. They want the person who seems to carry a piece of their healing. And again, this isn't poor judgment. This is the nervous system patterning. And it's interesting with the initiate, the part of where I see this is they're also depleted physically, right? But they want the transformative experience from something to end the depletion. And oftentimes the relationship can further deplete them. And then the alchemist in relationship, usually what we see, and this is true with everybody too. So remember that even though the quiz is giving you one archetype, we have a little bit of all archetypes in us. It's just a question of what's prominent. So the alchemist is attracting something that is mirroring back their existence, but it's the unintegrated material. It's the shadow pieces. It's the person who triggers the wound that they've been working on. And this isn't bad luck. This is the psyche's extraordinary precisions. I think it was Harville Hendrix in one of his books. He talks about imago and the imago therapy. And what that is that when you're in relationship, we project what we don't want to see within ourselves or don't integrate within ourselves. And that, by the way, can be positive qualities as well as negative qualities, but we project that on our partner. And usually it starts with we project the positive qualities on our partner first, and then we project the negative qualities on them. And imago therapy is about recognizing that in the other person. So you use the relationship as a way to integrate that. And that's kind of the idea about the alchemist, right? The relationship serves the transformation that's happening. The shadow question is whether the alchemist uses the relationship to grow or uses the wound it activates as evidence that it still has more work to do. And if you want more about that, listen to last week's podcast, because we talked about how the alchemist's shadow is, it keeps seeking over and over and over again, right? The wound that's up is there to be healed in the relationship. And finally, the wayfarer by itself is one of those patterns that's in between identities, between the life they have been living and the one that they sense is possible. And that in-between's quality shows up directly in how they relate. The wayfarer, sometimes it's not avoidance exactly, but they have one foot in one place and one foot in another place. They're drawn to relationships that might feel significant and carry a sense of potential, but that potential can scare them. And they can go years like this, by the way. So for the wayfarer, connection might feel slightly out of reach because it's not a fear of intimacy, it's a fear of landing. And the relationship can become the bridge the wayfarer seeks, which means it can find a new home. So your relationship pattern is not a character flaw. It's a frequency. It's something that the nervous system has engaged with. And frequencies can change. And that happens by becoming someone different in the level of the nervous system. I'm going to take a quick break. And in the second half of the show, I'm going to talk about the layers of this relational patterning. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to send me an email to info@askdrgill.com. And if you have any questions, start sending them, because soon I'm going to do a podcast, which is going to be a Q&A, and I need your questions to do this. So I'm hoping to be doing this in the next month because I think it would be fun. So send your questions in and I will put together a podcast based on those questions. We want to get back to the healing archetype quiz and the different archetypes and how they apply to relationships. And if you heard yourself in one of those patterns and want to identify the archetype precisely, the quiz is in the show notes. And it should take no more than 5, say 10 minutes. It creates a starting point from which your healing to begin. So let's go deeper into what actually changes in the pattern. So when I work with someone on relationships patterns, we're looking at 3 layers simultaneously, and each one needs to be addressed. So layer one is the nervous system's threat map. What does your nervous system flag that's dangerous in a relationship? And it can be lots of things. It can be conflict. It can be neediness. It can be abandonment. It can be engulfment. It can be success. It can be boring, ordinariness. Whatever it flags as dangerous, it will organize your behavior to avoid. And that avoidance will shape who you choose, how you show up, and when you leave. Layer two is the identity structure. Who are you in a relationship? And we all play different roles in relationships. The strong one, the difficult one, the one who leaves, the one who gets left, the one who is never quite chosen fully. These roles aren't random. These are part of the nervous system patterning. And we've learned to maintain them because they're predictable. And predictability, as I've already discussed, creates safety. And the third layer is an archetypal template. And this is something older. Now, the archetypes we carry, the patterns we carry, caretaker, warrior, seeker, innocent, victim, perpetrator, child. These shape not just how we relate, but what we believe the relationship is for. And so our nervous system organizes around familiarity because that's safe. But there's another layer. There's another layer of safety, you know, of organization around what's the purpose of a relationship? Safety for growth, for completion, for service. That belief organizes everything. And when you address all 3 layers together, the pattern doesn't soften. It actually reorganizes. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. It's micro changes that become durable over time. What actually changes the pattern? And I want to be honest to you about this. It's not understanding your relationship pattern that changes it. Many of you listening can describe your pattern of life clearly, whether it's about your health or your relationships or your family. And you have probably watched yourself step in it again, the exact same thing over and over again. Once you do that, that's the moment understanding has done its job and something else is required. You know the pattern, it keeps happening. And that is because the pattern does not live in the mind, it lives in the body. And it's encoded in the nervous system. It's encoded in the threat map, in the automatic responses that activate before consciousness arrives, before conscious thought arrives. The person who abandons doesn't trigger your thoughts about abandonment first. They trigger the feeling, the contraction, the familiar pull. And by the time your mind has an opinion, the nervous system has already organized your behavior. What changes the pattern is a new experience, repeated enough times that the nervous system updates its model. The experience of being safe when you expect danger, of being received when you expect rejection, of tolerating closeness without the familiar collapse into the role. This is slow work, but it is the only work that produces lasting change. And this is why relational change rarely happens in isolation. It happens in environments where new experiences can be repeated consistently enough that the nervous system accepts it as the new normal rather than the exception. And it requires a container. Therapeutic, somatic, relational, something that can hold the process while the nervous system learns something new. The pattern doesn't change when you finally understand it. It changes when your nervous system has had enough new experiences to no longer need it. So I want to leave you with something to sit with this week. And I want you to think of the relationship pattern that keeps repeating in your life. Not the details, the essence, the feeling, the role you end up in. And ask yourself, when do I remember first experiencing this? Not the event, but the feeling, the dynamic. And then ask the question, what does the pattern give me now, even now? Safety, familiarity, confirmation of what I believe, a way of being close without being truly seen. Patterns persist because they serve something. And if you're not sure what yours is serving, look at the three layers. The threat map, what does the pattern help you avoid? The identity structure, what does the pattern help you maintain? And the archetypal template, what does this confirm about what relationship is for? Usually the answer is in one, if not multiple, of those three places. And until you understand what they are serving, you're going to keep repeating it. You're not doomed to repeat it, but you cannot think your way out of it. The work is in the body, in the nervous system. You don't need a different partner necessarily, but you do need a different nervous system, and that is possible. Next week, I want to go deeper into the initiate, the archetype that perhaps more than any of the other holds this tension between the call towards death and the body's struggle to keep up. It's one of the more nuanced places in the healing map and on the healing path. And I think it deserves a lot more space. And again, if you haven't taken the quiz, check out the healing archetype quiz on my website. It's at archetype-quiz at askdrgill.com. And I really hope this was helpful for you. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will see you next time.